Hey everyone, welcome to our interview series for the Nonfiction Authors Association. Today I'm really excited to talk with Misty Mejia about how to be a better speaker and command the stage. You're going to love this. I'm your host, Stephanie Chandler. Always appreciate you spending your time with us. This event will last up to 30 minutes. Recordings are available to authority and VIP members of the Nonfiction Authors Association. If you're new to us, our members receive our author advisor email every Friday that features cultivated media leads and links to exclusive member content. Members can also participate in free mastermind groups we call Author Brainstorm Exchange and get access to our private community on Facebook. Discounts are available for our year-round nonfiction book awards program, the annual Nonfiction Writers Conference, and our popular book marketing master course and publishing master course, both with optional professional certification. We can't forget discounts with our awesome partners, including Lulu, Find Away Voices, Office Depot, Ingram Spark, and more. We'd love for you to join us over at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com. And now I'm thrilled to introduce our guest today. Misty Mejia is a CEO, creative director, and business strategist extraordinaire with over 20 years experience in market strategy, project management, public speaking, corporate branding, and channel marketing. She's traveled the world, sharing company visions, inspiration, and marketing strategies to audiences of hundreds to thousands. Outside of her business life, she's a performer, director, and choreographer for professional and regional theater. She's blended her two passions of business and theater to help high-achieving individuals learn step-by-step skills on how to present to any size audience from the boardroom to the keynote stage. Sharing the strategies and techniques she has honed in over the years, Misty helps others to find their unique voice and own their career trajectory. Hey, Misty, thank you so much for joining us today.
And now our 30 minutes are up, reading my bio.
Right? It's so great. And we have to say, in full disclosure, we are in a mastermind group together. So that makes this extra special to get to spend this time together.
Any time I get to spend with you is my favorite time. So I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me. And thank you for anybody listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it a lot. So Missy, you bravely left your very secure, thriving corporate career behind to start your own business and focus on speaker training. How did you come to make that decision?
You know, I wish it could be like a succinct story of like this one thing happened and I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
But as you know, life is just has this journey that unfolds before you sometimes. And I did. I left a corporate position at a Fortune 500 where I was managing a variety of different countries around the world. And I just kept having these nudges. We would put these events together and we would have 400 submissions for speakers and 30 would be women and 2 would be people of color. And I would call these ladies and go, oh, you need to speak here. You are so brilliant at this. And they were like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. And it was hurting my heart. And I thought for sure somebody was going to go solve it. And then I went for my own company. They sent me to Canada to teach a theater class to business entrepreneurs and executives. And it was a 3-hour workshop. And it was the most fun I had ever had.
Wow.
And it was the first time that I kind of combined my theater side and my corporate side and realized how much I have actually brought that into my life. And I was like, there's something here. And it just lit a fire in me. I had the tech person run after me as I was leaving. And I thought I forgot my mic pack. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like searching my body. And I was like, no, it's not here. He goes, Misty, I just want to say I've been doing this for 36 years. That was the best presentation I'd ever seen. I learned so much. Thank you. And I was like,
wow.
Like, all right, there's something here. And I just kept digging for a good year trying to figure out I could make that leap, how I could be comfortable enough to make that leap. Because it was, as you know, it's that golden handcuffs that you're like,
it's a tough thing to let go. I do know it's, and I spent a year as well planning my exit back way back in 03. So I think a year is a great amount of time to kind of craft your plan, right?
Not that everything is by the plan, but
nothing goes by the plan in my experience. It's the plan ends up being kind of a big funny document that you'll laugh at years later, but at least you had a plan when you started, and the plan has evolved and you're doing amazingly well. So congratulations. I think you're living your purpose. I love that.
I feel that too. I feel it. It's like watching other people, both men and women, get over their fears and their anxiety and be able to take the stage. I mean, one person I was working with, she goes, my goal is to be on that keynote stage. And I was like, you got it. Within 3 months, she got a keynote offer and she was on the stage. And I was like, okay, you just spoke that into fruition. Nice.
Wow. Manifesting. I love it.
Totally.
There's so much fear around speaking. Maybe we should start there, because I hear that. I mean, it's well known, right? It's the greatest fear next to dying is public speaking. What are some of your tips for maybe getting over some of that fear?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a ton of things that you can do. And it's not just one thing that'll help you all of a sudden like get rid of it. But to start, it's much like writing. Like you have to start standardizing a process for yourself. And it keeps you from going into that fight or flight mode when you come up with some rituals. Like, you know, in writing, like everybody has to create this writing ritual where it's every morning or every evening or something that has this consistency that just moves you along. It's the same with public speaking. Like before you go into any public speaking moment, whether it's on a podcast or anywhere else, you go into this ritual mode of like, what do I need right now? Do I need to go in with calmness? Do I need to go in with enthusiasm? What is it? And what is my ritual that I go to that every time, that's the thing about it, is it has to be repeated. So your body doesn't go, this is new, what's going on? That every time you can dip into that skill and go, okay, for me, I meditate before I go into any situation. I tend to be really excited and joyous. So sometimes for me, it's just about calming myself, getting centered, understanding who the audience is and what I need to do. But with setting up some of your rituals, having a good outline for your presentation, knowing who you're writing for, like there are so many skill sets that authors already have.
Yeah.
Like you already hone them in. To finish a book is no joke. Like I bow down to all of those authors out there. It is incredible. And figuring out all of those pieces that you've already somewhat curated for your experience and going, oh, I already know how to do this. I already know how to write a good outline. I already know how to do pacing with shorter sentences and longer paragraphs. Like you have a lot of skill sets that you can tap into, and then figuring out what are those skill sets that I'm missing. And once you develop those, it just becomes this craft that you're, as we said, progress, not perfection, that you're slowly progressing and getting better. And then your anxiety will eventually turn into, I'm super excited. I'm super excited to share this message today.
That's beautiful. And that's how I deal with it, because I don't get nervous most of the time anymore, but if it's a big group or if I have a lot of peers in the room, so like peers in the room for whatever reason, raise my anxiety more. And so I'll go from feeling anxious to I'll tune into that excitement, because I also think that helps you when you step out on the stage, really bring the level of energy up in the room. And it also comes from the same place in the body, right? Fear and excitement. So if I could, I'd much rather be excited than be shaking in my boots. That's kind of my philosophy.
Totally. And it's to move on that as well. like one of the biggest mistakes I feel that people do on stage is they go out there and they start with their bio, or they start with something that just is like, here's what we're going to talk about today. Here's my agenda. Can you imagine like writing a book and you're starting with like, here's what we're going to talk about, instead of like that epic opening line or story that just hooks them? It's the same in public speaking. You got to have that epic opener that you are just like, oh my God, I cannot wait to share this. Like, they are going to freak out when I tell them this story or when I tell them this piece of data. And when you're so excited to share it, you forget about those nerves and anxiety of all of your peers staring at you waiting.
Totally. But I love the suggestion of an epic opener. And in books, I think statistically it's been shown most people skip the introduction chapter. And the introduction chapter is the, here's what you're going to learn from this book. And I loathe that chapter myself as a reader, as a writer. I don't like to put introduction on anything. Yep. So I think that's a really, really wise point, Misty, that if you're, and you would do that in training, right? Like, here's what we're going to learn in training today. You don't do that as a keynote speaker. It's a very different type of situation. What are some of the other mistakes you see speakers making?
Winging it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. Like, I have so many clients that go, I hate practicing. Even practicing makes me nervous because I think that I have to do this coming up. And I'm like, so what do you do? And they go, I just wing it. And I'm like, oh my God, you're giving me heart palpitations. No. Yeah. And the reason is I don't want people to necessarily memorize. I memorize like certain aspects if I really want to be succinct in my language and what I'm using. But I'd rather you familiarize yourself so you're in a comfort area, like you're in a comfort zone. But winging it, you start telling stories that go off in tangents. You like step on your laugh lines because you said something funny that you weren't planning on doing, but you're trying to get to the point that you thought you wanted to get. And so it just creates something that is not succinct. And when you're writing a book, like there's so many things that you like use to your skill set of research to support what you're talking about and a story to help support what you're talking about and your experience. And it's the same thing for speaking. You want to bring all of those pieces in and really have a through line that makes sense for your audience. So when somebody says wing it, I do tell them, I'm like, you're giving me heart palpitations over here.
Oh my gosh, I completely agree. And if you translate that into writing your book, you wouldn't want wing writing a book.
Oh my God.
You've got to have the outline. It's essential.
100%. You got to know what you're doing to bring them from point A to point Z.
Wow. What about physicality on stage? Are there mistakes that you see speakers make or newer speakers making up there?
I won't say mistakes necessarily, but I think there are things that we're not tuning into that can be really good tools for us. 80% of communication is nonverbal. And when you think about all of those things that are nonverbal, it can be as simple as your wardrobe and what you're wearing can help you tell the story of what you're talking about, or at least your personal brand. It could be your tone of voice. It could be your pacing. It's your body language that is helping you emphasize a point versus distract people. And I think sometimes when we get nervous, our lower half will show our nerves, even when our voice doesn't, or our eyes will blink a lot or something. There will be something on your body that helps the audience go, oh, they're not comfortable right now. And so when you start paying attention to, oh, I might want to choreograph a little bit of my movement to help tell this story better. When people are on large stages, your movement has to be way bigger because you want to reach grandma in the last row that is sitting in the back. And a lot of people don't adjust their body language for the size of space that they're in. And so you have to think about, okay, if we're in an intimate space, I can do really small hand gestures. If we're in this Zoom box, I don't need to do big hand gestures. But if I'm on that keynote stage, you really do. You have to use your full body to help tell the story.
Wow, great point. So what are some tips for helping authors become better speakers? What are some of your favorite things to do?
I think everybody has a different path and trajectory of where they're at in public speaking. But for authors, much like we said before, you already have already curated a skill set that you can leverage. And so now it's imagine telling your story in an authentic way. And I don't necessarily like using the word authentic because that's pretty ambiguous. But to me, it's figuring out who that friend is of yours or that person that just lights you up, that you're so excited to talk to, and you leave like just full of energy after you've had a conversation with them. That's the kind of energy you want to bring to an audience. I see a lot of presenters go into that like a speaker tone all of a sudden. And now we're going to be talking about, and you're like, whoa, that's not your voice.
Yeah.
And it's fine from voiceover work, but for just really doing any public speaking, you want your tangible, like who you are, because it is a representation of you as an individual. And so when you're practicing, like record yourself. I know all of us love listening to ourselves. It's awesome. But we got to get over that a little bit, but record yourself and start listening, because without observation of what you are doing, you cannot make any changes. And so much like when you write, you want to read after you've written, you know, don't edit while you're going through, right? Like, let's get through it first. I don't know if that's how you work, but that's how I was taught. Like, Right. If you stop and edit everything, then that's not good. But it's the same in public speaking. So you want to like present on video or camera or on a recording, and then go back and just listen. Am I being succinct? Is that my natural voice? Do I sound excited where I need to sound excited? Am I slowing down where it is a pivotal point that they have to know? And your speed is going to let the audience know what's important. And what is not, it's going to let them know where they need to be excited and where they need to be focused. So it's kind of like a spotlight, right? You broaden the spotlight in those excitement moments. It's like a beam of light to everybody. And then you tighten it in for something that you want a pinpoint focus on. And you do that vocally with your tonality.
Ooh, theater's coming out in that. I love that.
I'm a geek.
Yeah. No, I love that. So, you mentioned practicing. I think that's so wise. I had an author say to me recently, oh, I need to, script out this presentation I'm giving for 45 minutes. And I was like, script it out. I don't necessarily recommend scripting an entire speech. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it really depends on the individual and where your comfort zone is. If you are more comfortable scripting it out and really being particular about your language and how succinct you are, then yeah, 100% do it. But for some people, they just need to put a couple bullets and know what they're going to talk about and be really familiar with it. I personally, for really high stakes presentations, like when I'm on a keynote stage, I actually do script it out. Do I memorize the script word for word? No, but I script it out because sometimes you have 15 minutes, sometimes you have an hour, sometimes you have 2 hours. And the shorter it is, the more likely I script it out, because you have to be really particular about your language and very succinct.
I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I love watching TED Talks, right? And they tend to be 18 minutes or less. And then I was asked to give a TED style talk at an event. It was 15 minutes. That was the hardest speech I have ever given, because they were literally going to cut me off at 15 minutes. So it was the one and only speech I've ever fully scripted. And I will say that was also my most successful presentation ever. I sold the most books after that event. Why are shorter events so much harder?
It's because you have to be so succinct in your message. You cannot wander. You can't go off into tangents and go, oh, this is also a good point. I need to bring that in the moment. Because if you do, your time's up and they're like taking the hook and taking you off stage. So because you have to be so on time, you have to pay some really close attention to how you're getting there. But I have an accelerated outline that I do, whether you have 10 minutes on stage or you have 3 hours. And it is the, what is the one thing that your audience should be able to do after this talk? And what are the 3 things that will get them there? And so if you do an outline like that, you can then, it just, the expansion comes in all of the different ways you engage an audience. And that's where my education background comes in handy, is we have all of these different ways to really get people engaged in a conversation. So everybody leaves understanding because you're speaking in the way that they absorb information. But if you stick to that kind of formula, then you can take even pieces of your book. Okay, what is the one thing that I want them to be able to do? And what are the 3 things that will get them there? Because I know when you have a whole book of great information, like just narrowing that down to a talk is like, oh, but I want to teach this. And oh, but this would be really good.
That's a great formula just for coming up for with like your one paragraph description of your book. I love that. And the 3 things that'll get you there. What are your thoughts on slides and PowerPoint and things like that?
Because I have that corporate background, I'm a slide geek, but it really depends on the formula we have or the format of the presentation. You know, some keynote speakers don't use slides. Some do. Some, if you're leaning in more in the educational arena, then you probably should. But slides are another area where you bring in that nonverbal communication. A lot of the education I do is how to tell a digital story with your slides, because the imagery matters, the color matters, the mood of the imagery matters, like the words that you're putting on there. Even if you're going into a boardroom meeting and you're showing a lot of data, I hate to see like a slide deck and one of the slides is just a ton of numbers. And I ask my clients all the time, well, what's the story you're trying to tell with these numbers? What number is the most important for them to take away? Okay, let's make that a different color. Let's figure out how to emphasize that in a different way so you pull their focus there. Because giving them like 50 numbers on a page is just like, they're going to sit there and look at every single number and try to make up their own story. So I love slides because I think they can be really beautiful. I love animation. I did a whole keynote where I just did a video behind me, and each like image that it phased into was a different like point for me to go, okay, now I'm moving to this part of the story. And so video is really dynamic behind you as well, but you can have a ton of fun in your imagery for sure.
And that's what I love about slides, is they help keep you on track. Uh-huh. Right. And so I love that you did that to video. I mean, that had to have been a lot of preparation goes into timing that if you're running a video behind you, right?
Yes. Yes. To your point on the TED Talk, it was probably the most rehearsed I ever had been. But I saw Oprah. She spoke at one of our conferences, right? And we hired her and she did hers to video. And it was so beautifully done. And I was like, she had to rehearse this for months, because she was talking about ideas dripping. And they're first just this one drip, and then it becomes like rain, and then it becomes a storm until you make that change. And sure enough, the drip on the video was right when she said drip. It was one drop that created this ripple. And then it slowly started to drizzle behind her. And I was like, oh,
that's some next level stuff. Oh my goodness.
I loved it.
So last question about your speech itself, but writing your presentation, you know, I know you talked about having an outline. Do you recommend any kind of, I mean, is there a formula to writing it? Do you want it to have like a high in the middle? Is there a repetition involved? What are your thoughts about the speech writing process?
To me, I think like some basic like things that you typically do is a funnel in either direction. And the funnel could be from big idea down to the smaller steps to get you there, or vice versa, the smaller steps to get you to that big idea. And I think that's like kind of the most traditional model. I know that there's all this research on story arcs and the Cinderella story and all of those things, but I think those are components within a presentation and not necessarily the arc of the presentation. I'm a sucker for bookending, of telling like that story in the beginning, but don't tell the ending until the actual ending. I love making sure that each area has some sort of data to support it, because it's great for all of us to go, hey, here's my opinion. But then when we back it up with data and third party support, then it just, it becomes less about just you and more about, hey, this is a wider thought than my personal experience. Mm-hmm. But anytime you can bring in multiple voices, I think is part of that funnel that just validate along the way.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh. All right, Misty, what are some of the benefits of hiring a speaker coach?
I think the benefits, like to me, I still do it myself. Like I have my go-to people that when I'm presenting, I just need that second ear and go, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about this opening? And all of us, when we're presenting, we can't be the actor and the director. It's just not possible. And so having that person that's an outside perspective that can help you from ideation to what stories to bring into the right data to delivery, and then what to ask for on stage. Like I talk about all the tech stuff that you can do with your directors. So when you're on site, you can actually go, oh, and here's how I want the lighting to be at this moment. Here's what I would like to do here. But really coming together with a full beginning to end. It's much like having somebody like you in your life of that coach on the book side of like, how can I publish it? How can I do this? Can you do it on your own? Absolutely. Is it easier with somebody that has already been there, done it multiple times? Absolutely.
Well said. So tell us about the services you offer and how our listeners can connect with you.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. For me, I have a women's only cohort that starts again in March for Women's Month. We can definitely give you the link for that. So anybody that is interested in joining that group, it is a phenomenal group of ladies every time. It's just wonderful connections. We are working hard together. We are keeping each other accountable. And I really, really enjoy the dynamics that we've created in that space. Men, I also have an on-demand course that they can take. I found in my research that people that have such high anxiety of public speaking didn't even want to go in person to public speaking classes, that they would prefer to still learn on their own. So I created on-demand education. And I have gotten phenomenal feedback from everybody that's gone through it. They were just like, this is the most in-depth education I've ever gone through for public speaking, whether they have been speaking for years or they're new to it. So whatever your comfort zone is, whether you like to learn in a group or just on your own, let me know and I'm happy to help.
And where can they find you?
MistyMejia.com. It's just my name everywhere. My social handles are all Misty Mejia. My website is Misty Mejia. My email is Misty Mejia.
That's MEGIA. Misty, thank you so much. This was really fun to talk with you today. The time went way too fast.
It's so fast. I love you. Thank you so much. I love seeing your face.
Super fun. Thank you everyone for joining us today. We conduct these interviews every Wednesday. You can check the schedule or sign up for our email list to get event notifications. You can do that over at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com. Hope y'all have a spectacular day.